Good evening and welcome to the call. We're ready to get started this evening. I have a very, I think, interesting topic for this evening. Lincoln keeps encouraging me to go a little deeper, to break things down into more bite-sized pieces. And so I'm going to attempt to do so this evening in a very special area. If a question arises during the conference this evening, please just come off of mute, say Dave, Dave, and I'll acknowledge you, and then you can ask your question. For the last 3 weeks, we have been talking about self-esteem. We had an opportunity to talk about some of the causes of self-esteem. We've talked about being real and genuine and authentic. We've talked about the need to impress and pretend and feel ashamed and fear, those overcompensating behaviors when we have a challenged self-esteem. We've also talked about healing self-esteem this evening in terms of pivotal moments, taking charge of those pivotal moments in our life. And when we are conscious in those pivotal moments, we can hear the thought processes that are impacting our decisions, and we can consciously choose to change those thoughts and make better decisions. That's a pivotal moment. And when we do that, we, as I mentioned last week, can feel joy in the moment, joy at the end of that journey. As I mentioned, we plan in days and weeks and months and years, but we live our lives in these little moments. They're constantly occurring throughout the day. And success is nothing more than a series of wisely executed pivotal moments. That's all success is. It's an accumulation of these successfully executed pivotal moments. The decisions we make in that moment to either pick up the phone and make the call, we get an impression, we act on it. To take those kinds of actions are decided in those moments. The decision to take inaction, to avoid phone calls and other things that will destroy our business and even our relationships are also made in those pivotal moments. So we have an opportunity to stay awake and alert. Now, I mentioned also last week that we use density focus, the scrolls. We had a wonderful conversation about the scrolls last week and how the scrolls can help us stay conscious in those pivotal moments. And lastly, insights, as we use our mind constructively to mentally rehearse and explore and seek insights, that we can have insights manifest to us, these ideas, these impressions, these solutions to problems. They ignite our passion. They get us excited about what we're doing. Now, I want to take you into a very foundational, if you want to talk about a pivotal moment, go right down to the millimeter of self-esteem. Where is the genesis? Where's the beginning? Where's that beginning molecule? And the topic is loving yourself. Terribly misunderstood concept. I'm going to do my very best in the next few minutes this evening to walk you through not only the importance of loving yourself, but why and how you can take proactive action in very concrete steps to begin the process of finding the joy. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, this is not the self love that we think about when we watch the narcissistic Gaston and the classic Beauty and the Beast. I mean, that was a pathetic character who was so self-absorbed that his obnoxious antics absolutely repelled Belle, a self-respecting, a self-confident, and a deeply grounded woman. We're not talking about that. We're talking about a self-love which is about reverence for the infinite an intrinsic gift of life, starting with your own life. If you can see that value in your own, you can see it in others. It is about honoring, and this key word, magnifying. You can write that one down, magnifying the gifts that have already been given, instead of lamenting or resenting the ones that seem to be missing. Big difference. It is about focusing on contribution and not on accumulation of things. That's a self-love. Reverence for life, honoring and magnifying the gifts we have, and focusing on contribution and not accumulation. This is the basis of the self-love. Now, the assessment that we created, the mathematics for this assessment, came from Robert Hartman, Dr. Robert Hartman, University of Tennessee. Dr. Hartman's now passed away. Brilliant mathematician and philosopher who also had a law degree. I've talked about him before. He spoke numerous languages, read even more of them. Just a brilliant human being. And this is one of the topics that he spent a great deal of time writing about. This last week I pulled out a speech that he gave years and years ago and reread it on this topic. And I'm going to do my best to share some of his thoughts as well, but he poignantly punctuates the need for this practice of self-love. He writes, "Unless you like yourself, you cannot like anyone else. Unless you feel that you are important, nothing can be important to you. You must take yourself seriously. If you take yourself as an accident that just as well might not have happened, if you dislike your own self, then you are lost. You are lost to the universe. You cannot enrich the world. And you've been created to enrich the world." I just love those words. You've been created to enrich the world, to bless the lives of others, to make this planet a better place. And yet sometimes we're so consumed in our own cocoon, emotional cocoon, that we don't get out of this place. Now, we don't want to gain the whole world, fame and fortune, and lose our own soul. He talked about Marilyn Monroe as an example and her tragic death, where she left her estate to her psychoanalyst, had the world, but had lost her own compass. We do not want to miss the mission for which we have been uniquely prepared. I'll talk more about that in a few moments. We do not want to look to titles, possessions, and performance as the primary means of determining our worth, because these things can be taken away in a flash. I know what that feels like, to be stripped of your wealth, and to, at the same time, believe that you are those things, and all of a sudden, you're lost. I was a broken little child, because the only thing that had healed my child was my things. And when my things were gone, I was back to being that broken little child. We don't want to be in that place. In his writings, Dr. Hartman concludes that liking oneself is not an easy matter. In truth, if you've studied philosophy, you know that philosophers from Socrates to Kierkegaard have tried to give us a method for loving ourselves. And that healthy self-esteem requires that we first love ourselves unconditionally and intrinsically, and it does. Dr. Hartman made a suggestion, four steps, critical steps. These are the steps. You write these down. Know thyself. Write that one down. Choose thyself. Create thyself. And give thyself. I'm going to spend some time on each one of these. Now, some of what I'm going to share with you, I've tried to make it as understandable as possible. It's really powerful information. I'm going to include this in the segment on self-esteem. It's why it's not published yet, because I'm adding this whole section about self-love, because it's such an important piece. I'm going to do my very best. You may want to go back and re-listen to some of this, because at the core of our self-esteem is often self-disdain, self-condemnation, self-deprecation. We are beating ourselves up, disvaluing ourselves. This may be a place you're going to want to look and spend a little time on in the next week, so you'll go back and be able to listen to this recording. So the very first step is know thyself. If you remember in quality number one, connecting with people, there's a section entitled Awakening Empathy and Intuition. And in that section, I share a very personal experience we call the Chicago Dream. I want to take you back to that place. Now, if you haven't heard the Chicago Dream, I'm in this dream dragging this sack filled with all of my challenges in life. And I'm dragging it behind me. Very symbolic. You know, some of the experiences in that sack were painful. Some of them were shameful. but every one of them was like tinder, you know, for a fire that was burning in my soul of shame and blame and fear. Here's a key. I am instructed to empty the sack, pick up the most painful experience, and examine it. Now, in that sentence, there are many important steps, but the first one was, I am instructed. I remember vividly dragging this sack and feeling this power greater than me that was resonating in the universe, if you will, who was telling me to do this. There is a power greater than me, greater than you, instructing us to take certain actions. Actions we are often unwilling or unable to take on our own. To know ourselves, we will want to first surrender and submit to this power, even if it seems too difficult or even impossible at times. I've been doing a lot of research with AA and others as Ogmandino begins the process of building an alcohol recovery program. Intentional creation, Ogmandino for the 21st century alcohol recovery. It's an online program for those who are struggling with this disease, who cannot afford to go to a rehab center. It's just out of their reach. This is a support system to assist them through. They're going to go to AA. They'll still have their own therapists, etc., but we're there to support them with the Ogmandino principles. I was on a phone yesterday with Betty in a board meeting and was sharing with her the development of this, and she just said, Dave, I just want you to know that this is the most exciting thing we've ever done. This is the heart of the Ogmandino family. This is where Og spent his time. Og was an alcoholic, destroyed his first family, his wife, and his daughter. And to be able to bring his principles to the healing of those who are suffering with this disease is just a very exciting thing to do. So, and in AA, the very first thing you do is admit that you're helpless and you surrender to a power greater than yourself. That's what you do. Because you know you haven't been able to do it on your own. And if you're looking at your life, you may not have alcoholism. You may have workaholism. You may have some other isms or icks in your life. But most of us have tried to do this on our own. Some of us in open rebellion against this power, because for some reason in our childhood we were offended by a pastor or the tenets of the church were too strict, and so we rebelled against them and threw God out with. I just invite you that to have this self-love, we'll want to surrender to and submit to this power that's greater than us. Because next, in partnership with that power, which is our greatest cheerleader, I mean, that's the exciting part, our greatest cheerleader, we'll want to engage in a truthful and introspective evaluation of our life, past and present. Now, this is very sensitive. We'll want to find out how we think and what impact these thoughts might be having on our life decisions and actions. Now, I parenthetically want to tell you it may be appropriate to do this with a therapist, especially if you've been dealing with really difficult issues here, because I'm going to share with you some ideas. And if these are too painful for you to do on your own, then seek some assistance. You are absolutely worth it. But if you can do this, make this truthful and introspective evaluation of your life, past and present. We want to find out how we think and what impact these thought processes might be having on your life decisions and actions. Go back and listen to the results of your assessment. Double-click on those measurements and get to know these thoughts that have been either supporting you or sabotaging you. You're going to want to make a personal inventory of illnesses like alcoholism or any addictions like pornography addictions or drug addictions. You also want to identify your gifts and your talents, your physical capacities, your spiritual beliefs, your finances, and the condition of your current relationships. And I can tell you that Lincoln is feverishly taking notes, and they'll be posted tomorrow. So if you miss anything, you know they'll be there in his notes, and this recording will be up tomorrow as well. Well, when we drag our past behind us, like I was in the dream, all that stuff in that sack, we're attempting to avoid what is real. We've tried to forget it, put it behind us. We've tried to pretend that it was different, that it didn't just happen. Pretend that it's not there. We have blamed others often. We have often tried in vain to justify our actions and explain away our results. And how often do we tell ourselves these stories of why I didn't do my calls, why I'm not building my business, why I didn't read the scrolls? And lastly, we have blamed ourselves. I'm just a loser. I'm just no hope. All those kinds of messages we speak to ourselves. Unwilling or unable to face the truth of it, we drag it behind us. That's the symbolism in that dream. Now, facing the truth about our lives is not about self-condemnation. We're not condemning ourselves by facing the truth. It is about shedding light on the truth. What comes is a sense of peace, because the truth does set us free. It's denial of what's true that keeps us in an emotional prison. It's a great secret to know. Now, Og wrote, I have surrendered my free will to the years of accumulated habits, and the past deeds of my life have already marked out a path which threatens to imprison my future. My actions are ruled by appetite, passion, prejudice, greed, love, fear, environment, habit. And the worst of these tyrants is habit. Therefore, if I must be a slave to habit, let me be a slave to good habits. My bad habits must be destroyed, these old neural pathways in the brain, and new furrows prepared for good seed. It's a wonderful poetic way of describing that. That new neural pathway that we're growing, we've plowed a path for it. We keep plowing it and plowing. We talked about this with density focus last week. And insights, we've prepared new seeds. We're planting new seeds. They begin to grow. There's a new habit, a new neural pathway in our brain. So take courage. I don't want to scare anyone tonight. I don't want you to have fear about taking a look. As you acutely know, if you have any of these things you've been unwilling to look at, the effort to avoid the truth about your past and current life is both exhausting and damaging. These events, this is a key phrase, these events have already or are currently happening. We don't create them by looking at them. We are just old habits of thinking and acting and seeing it for what it is. One of the most sacred gifts of human life is that when we finally shed light on our lives, we somehow know what is good, and we know what needs to be amended. Now, these are great secrets, because there is, as Og says, a flame that burns inside of us. That's a constant irritation to us. And when we look inside ourselves, and we see that flame burning, it reminds us of who we want to become, and we need to do something about where we are. Now, that's the first one. Know thyself. Warts and all. Know thyself. Now, you want to be very careful with this, because many of us have grown accustomed to being victims, where we just feel so burdened and so overwhelmed, and now we're going to just beat ourselves up over all this stuff, too. That's not the exercise. The exercise is an honest look at what's creating the craziness in our lives. Now, once we know ourselves, choose ourselves. This is a wonderful thought. Choose ourselves. Now, let's go back to the Chicago dream for a second. You know, I've emptied the sack. I'm holding this painful life experience in my hand, and I'm instructed to engrave it on my heart. This act of engraving an experience on our heart is significant, because this, in essence, is that transition from being a victim to being a victor. As a victim, you know, we drag our experiences around behind us, dwelling on our pain and the damage it's done to us. Don't anybody, please don't be offended by this. If it doesn't apply, please don't be offended. If it applies, just be willing to take a look. Because often we do want to be someone else. We want to be that skinny person. We want to be that muscular person. We want to be that tan person. We want that person who has the money. We want that person who doesn't seem to have stress. We want to be someone else. We want to be somewhere else, in a bigger home or on a vacation. We want to be doing something different or have had different things happen to us. In doing so, we can become, and I'm very careful the way I say this to you, we can become self-absorbed and self-focused on how the world and all our challenges are negatively impacting us.
Don't.
We can engage in a truly endless and what I would call a futile attempt to pursue the unachievable. That's a life that's different, free from pain and stress, and one which is this stuff is not happening or didn't happen. As a victor, when we engrave this as a victor, we are making the conscious choice to own these experiences and make them part of our character, part of who we are. I hope you don't mind me using this next phrase. They are small Gethsemanes where we have taken upon ourselves our own lives so that we can have empathy for others. And in so doing, we uniquely prepare ourselves to fulfill a mission, our purpose on this planet. Now, I'm going to give you a silly example, take a little pressure off this heavy topic for a minute. When I was playing college football, I weighed 175 pounds. I couldn't gain weight if I wanted to. And I don't mind telling you, I even took steroids. I mean, it's crazy, but I did. I finally found the cure for being skinny, and that was getting married. That helped. But coming out of high school, I was converted from a linebacker to a free safety. Those of you who know football, that's the person on the defense at the very back. I was just fast enough to make the third team. My real position was bench warmer. This was a brutal winter, 1971-72, up at Ricks College in Idaho. Coldest winter since 1935. I promise you the benches needed to be warmed. Well, I had subpar athleticism, really, because in college, everybody's big and everybody's fast. Heart only goes so far. It makes great movies like Rudy, but it only goes so far. Because the truth of the matter is, when you don't have the athleticism to compete and you've got dogged determination, something has to break. And for me, that was a few bones and a few ligaments and a little bit of cartilage. Nagging injuries that still remain today. But my football career came to an unceremonious end. It was over. After years of dreaming of becoming a professional football player, it's over. I'm sitting in my dorm. What do I do now? It was time to reevaluate. Where am I? Some of you have been through a loss like this. Some of you are going through one right now in your life. It might be your house. It could be a relationship. Where am I? What assets do I have? This is what I have to work with. Now, all the wishing, lamenting, complaining, pleading with God, and for me, ultimately, anger, does not change what is. We have to choose what we have. Well, I had to choose me, warts and all. Football was over. The question is, was my life over? Was this the end of everything? Could have been. Is for some. Once we've identified the kind of person we have been and the assets with which we have to work, we'll want to accept ourselves and our circumstances. Now, this isn't becoming complacent and giving in. It is just that this is the clay that you've been given to work with. These are the cards you've been dealt, the circumstances of your life right now. This is what is. Too often, and in fantasy, we'll make vain attempts to imitate others or create unrealistic expectations. But when they are left unmet, we feel less than, worthless, and unworthy. That's not going to work. How about you? But there are times when I wished it was different. And of course, you know, who wouldn't? But the past cannot be changed. What is. And all the resistance and all the rebellion is not going to change what is. I'm going to tell you in a few minutes what does change it, but that won't change it. These experiences, ones you're going through or have been through, can either burden and canker our soul. They can destroy our worth. that can negatively impact others, our relationships, our professions. They can impede that mission for which we've been uniquely prepared, or they can be used as reference points by which we can better understand and serve others. This is the secret. This is the secret. We cannot start building our lives on fantasy or a false premise. I gotta say this, but there is no limit to the bottom at which we may have to start rebuilding. But quoting Dr. Hartman, he writes, "But no matter how despicable we are to ourselves, we must choose ourselves. Accept ourselves as the one we are. I am the one I am." End quote. This is the truth. This is the foundation on which we can begin to rebuild our lives. The truth is, there is also no ceiling to the growth we can achieve when we start from here. Are you with me? There's no limit to the bottom at which we have to start rebuilding. But when we get to the rock bed, the bedrock, excuse me, this bedrock, this solid bottom, there is no limit to the ceiling of growth if we start from here. Well, I remember in the dream, as I was engraving these things on my heart, and my heart was swelling. It had unlimited capacity. I was very surprised. Welcome, discovery. There was room and despair. A sense of peace began to fill my heart. And I know it's true. I've experienced it in real life as we go through this. We are nature's greatest miracle. And when we be our stuff, our crap, we will perceive, as Og says at last, that our problems and our discouragements and our heartaches are in truth great opportunities in disguise. I will no longer be fooled by the garments they wear, for mine eyes are open. I will look beyond the cloth, and I will not be deceived. So self-love requires that we first know ourselves, warts and all. Two, that no matter how low in the basement we have to go, we embrace this. We embrace this. This is who we are. We choose us. I love that movie, Family Guy, where Nicolas Cage says, "I choose us. I choose us." Well, now we get to the next stage. This is the third stage. We begin to create ourselves. As creation from this bedrock of truth commences, miracles begin to happen, and I can promise you. I'm going to pause for a moment and tell you, this has been the most difficult topic for me to write about. The most difficult. This has brought up so many raw nerves in my life. I thought there was such healing that occurred in this place, and there had been. But there were so many places that still needed to be addressed. In a way, it was painful, but it was glorious also to know that's true. And to watch those miracles from the past that have happened, and now as this is being taken on, to see new miracles occurring just in today, just in yesterday. So wherever you are, be okay that when you get to this bedrock of truth about what really is, these miracles will begin to happen. Because we'll want to make the most out of the clay we've been given. I mentioned earlier the cards we've been dealt, the circumstances we find in our lives. Dr. Hartman writes, quote, "You must start as early as you can, but it is never too late." It is never too late. I was 50 6 years ago when I... Well, once you know yourself, warts and all, and choose yourself, warts and all, we turn our focus to creating the most we can with what we've been given. Now, this next concept I want to explain the best I can. Because if we're trying to build on a false premise, on a facade, then it's a lie. It's just a lie. We can't build on that. Not on a house of cards. We build on this bedrock. We are only impeded in creation. We're only held back in our creation when we want to be someone else, somewhere else, doing something different. An attempt to use this baseless desire as a foundation for creation. When we begin creation from this bedrock of truth, the sky is the limit. This is one of the great secrets of self-esteem. It's painful to know ourselves, but we're not creating it by looking. It already exists. We are going to choose our life. Instead of wanting to be a 7'4" basketball player or a 6'3", 245-pound linebacker, we're going to choose what we have and focus all of our energy on making the most we can out of what we have, and we will begin to discover immediately that there is a tremendous gift awaiting us. Tremendous gift. When the focus is on accepting what we have and building from there. Hogg says, I'll never be satisfied with yesterday's accomplishment, nor will I indulge anymore in self-praise for deeds which in reality are too small to even acknowledge. Yesterday they were monsters. Today they're nothing. We've grown past them. I can accomplish far more than I have, and I will, for why should the miracle which produced me end with my birth? Why can I not extend this miracle to the deeds of today? I am nature's greatest miracle. These are powerful words for us. So it is time to fully realize your full potential. No more vain attempts to imitate others. No longer. Identify what has happened to you. Embrace it. Own it. Begin to create. Embrace your uniqueness and the uniqueness of your experiences. You have been uniquely prepared for a purpose. Now, that's not to say those things happened so that you could. The point is those things happened and you can't change them. But you can use them. And in making the decision to use them, you can become a partner with that power that governs abundance in blessing the lives of people at such a high level that you can create unbelievable things in their life and ultimately yours. That's the truth. Well, lastly, we want to give of ourselves. This is the crowning principle. Because I remember, after I had engraved all these things on my heart in the Chicago Dream, and I turned around to face that man standing in front of me, it was the first time that I noticed that he, too, was dragging a sack. In other words, I finally saw that he, too, was in pain. Feeling what he was feeling, I knew the questions to ask. I didn't need someone to script them for me. I knew what he was experiencing. In asking the questions, he knew that I knew where he was and didn't need to fix him. I was accepting. And acceptance didn't require agreement. Just a willingness to ask, to listen, and to understand. Walls come down when we do this because we become a safe place. Dr. Harbin wrote about this, and let's find this quote. He says, this means forget all limitations. Be generous with your own self. Give of your own self to your fellow man and to the world. Love your neighbor as yourself. Throw your bread on the water, end quote. It's in giving of ourselves to others that we finally find our true self, our magnificence, our natural genius, our true worth, our true capacity. And finally, all that craziness that has happened, all those terrible experiences some of you have had, finally have a purpose. Those little Gethsemanes you've been through that have heightened your empathy, your ability to truly feel with another person what they're experiencing. Well, Dr. Harbin concluded with this. He said, to love yourself and within yourself, your fellow man, is thus the end result of a chain of self-discoveries. First, self-knowledge, knowing thyself, then choosing thyself, then creating thyself, and then giving thyself. Now, if this has been a little technical for some of you may be feverishly taking notes and saying, what does all this mean, Dave? Because I've been doing the same thing for the last few days, just really pounding on this. Let's all take a big, deep breath. I'm going to take another stab at it from a little different angle and see if it'll help. When we seek to know ourselves and become increasingly transparent, that means we're not hiding anything. No more secrets, no more lies, no more pretending. We become real. There's consistency between our public self and our secret self. When we choose ourselves, we focus on what we have. We stop trying to imitate and impress others, and more freely uncover and develop and magnify our own natural strengths, our natural genius. You see, when we're not owning ourselves, when we're not choosing what we have, we're trying to choose something we don't have. And we spend a whole lot of time and energy trying to choose something we do not have. However, when we choose what we have, then we're free to magnify each one of those gifts and uncover some. You'll find some you didn't even know you had. We become genuine. We embrace our genie, our genius. We become genuine. So we're now becoming real. No more secrets, no more lies. We are choosing what we have, so we're becoming genuine. And when we begin to create ourselves using the clay that we've been given, we grow into the person, write this down, the person we were meant to become. Not that one we're trying to choose over there, who has that and this and that relationship. Not that person. The one we were meant to become. Now, someone said, I was sharing this earlier today, and they said, well, we just have to settle for our circumstance. No, this is not about settling for anything. This is about magnifying what we have. Again, no bottom to where we might have to start. But conversely, there is no ceiling to where we can go if we focus here. We become our real self. That's becoming authentic. If you remember, the objective is to be real and genuine and authentic without the need to impress, to lie, to pretend, to feel ashamed and fear. This is the highest level of maturity, and it's at the very core of your self-esteem. You are not on this earth by chance, Og says. I am here for a purpose, and that purpose is to grow into a mountain, not to shrink to a grain of sand. And the more honest, the more transparent we become with ourselves. No more games. We're not playing games with ourselves, which means we're not playing them with others either. The more we get out of our own way, we can grow unfettered, unobstructed by fear and shame. And what starts to happen is our cup begins to run over. We have more and enough to spare. We give of ourselves freely and are fed instead of feeling depleted. How many times do you find yourself in service and you have nothing left to give? Now you know why. We haven't built our self-esteem on a solid foundation and then begin to create the most with what we have. So there is something to give that's real. That's real. Otherwise, we're constantly depleting a facade, which is taking most of our energy to hold up anyway. And more giving and giving just depletes the energy we need to keep pretending that something's different. So we get to surrender. And we find our power to love ourselves and love others growing exponentially. We have tapped into an infinite reserve. Now, I share that with you emotionally. Dr. Hartman's research, he demonstrated this mathematically. It's very interesting. If you you like Cantor's transfinite calculus. I'll save you the boring evening of that. But prior to tapping into our natural genius, we're often looking for love in all the wrong places, in cars and houses and dependent relationships and dysfunctional families and all kinds of craziness. But when we look in the right place, we discover that the power to love ourselves and others has always been in our own backyard. Now, I remember when I was 6, we lived just outside a thiokol plant. Thiokol back then was testing solid fuel engines for the Minuteman rockets. And I remember one night having a dream. I came out of my house into the backyard, and it was very dark outside. I had a shovel in my hand. Some of you may have had a dream similar to this. I remember this powerful feeling that there was a treasure buried in my backyard. I selected this space. I could still picture it in my mind like it was yesterday. It was right there. I could feel that's where it was. It was like it was pulsating. And I began to dig. About 3 feet down, I hit something hard, and I was clearing away the dirt, and I found this treasure chest. It just looked like a small treasure chest. Except for when I opened it up, I discovered that it was bottomless. And it was filled with mounds and mounds of quarters. Now, quarters aren't that big a deal today, but I was 6. I was a coin collector. And a quarter was something I got paid for an entire day of pulling weeds. This was truly a treasure. Now, I've reflected on that dream many times in my life. Whenever I'm tempted to go out there and search for treasure, I'm always reminded to look inside me and in my life and those closest to me. It has never failed. The greatest treasures have always been found in my own backyard, even in the darkest night. I've shared this story in the audio series somewhere of pulling away from the house in La Mesa, California, our dream home, and just distraught. And there's Ramona pulling out of the lot with our 7 kids and our 12-passenger Ford van bouncing and singing camp songs. The truth of the matter, Og talks about this in Scroll 2, and he says, I'll just read it to you. He says, I love the light, for it shows me the way, yet I will love the darkness, for it shows me the stars. We know mythologically that those stars were regarded as diamonds. And sometimes the sunlight of success obscures the diamonds in our life. And when success fades, when it sets, and we're just left with darkness, it's then we see those things that are most important in our life, that are right there in our own backyard. Well, when we have the courage to dig deep and know ourselves and then choose ourselves, we will discover a very real treasure. With this treasure, we can create the most that we can, and I can promise you, you'll be surprised at the extent of the creation. And as you do this, you'll begin to discover that you have tapped into an infinite supply of power, power to love yourself and others. And this is one of the great secrets of self-esteem. Now, as we're reflecting on this healing of self-esteem, we've identified the causes, etc. I just want to say this one more time. For some, it may be necessary to begin this journey in the hands of a licensed therapist who's trained to assist you in processing childhood traumas, addictions, and other difficult challenges. When we get to this part, we may uncover some things that have been so deeply buried, so we have avoided them for so long, and when they show up, they may be so painful that these childhood traumas, or if we discover and finally acknowledge an addiction or an illness such as alcoholism, if that's a challenge, any of the difficulties that can keep us stuck in this emotional cocoon, don't be uncomfortable or ashamed to seek assistance. You're just, as I said it earlier, you're absolutely worth it. Now, others may be ready just to move forward with self-determination, and perhaps at times a little nudge like a Tuesday night call with me. But listen to what's been said tonight. When you go back and re-listen to these principles of knowing yourself, taking that inventory, and then choosing yourself, no matter how deep the bottom is, of getting to the bedrock of what really is and choosing it, and then from there begin the creation of your life for which there is no ceiling, and in the process discover this great power of being able to love yourself and others from this place of transparency and honesty. As you're listening to this, ask yourself, can I do this? Can I do this? Not perfectly at first, but can I start doing this? If so, begin today. If not, it's important that you seek therapeutic assistance because you're worth it. And you don't have to do this alone. In either event, this is a lifetime journey. I want to acknowledge the fact that we do not live in a vacuum. Wouldn't it be wonderful if crazy life experiences happened when we were the strongest, when we were whole and when we were complete? But it just doesn't happen that way. They happen sometimes at the most inopportune times when we feel the weakest. And then you can make it doubly difficult if you're in a committed relationship or you're a caregiver for a child or for children. And you have that added responsibility of lifting and building your partner and building a next generation so they'll have better equipment to face those challenges. They'll be more whole and they'll be more complete. And this can be difficult if you're in need of healing. I just want to acknowledge that. If there's anyone on the phone who's in absolute need of healing in their self-esteem, and you've got a committed relationship or you've got children, this is tough. It might be wise to seek the counsel of a good, trained therapist to help you process through some of these, especially if they're painful childhood traumas or addictions. Well, this has been an interesting journey going through self-esteem. We know that in addition to taking action and learning to love ourselves, that we also want to learn how to use our mind constructively. In the weeks to come, we're going to spend more time on those five constructive ways in which we can use our mind. Stillness. We were able to do that process a few weeks ago, and that will be recorded soon. I know I've been promising that for 2 weeks, and I feel badly about it. But I promise you, this section is going to be worth the wait. It's getting very rich and very deep, and it must, because it's just that kind of a place. And lastly, the affirmations. Many of you have affirmations. You have the affirmations of an intentional creator. There are six of them, and you will want to spend some time with these affirmations so that they can start to come alive in your life. Now, if you want to know where those are, you just go to your intentional creation assessment website, go to the bottom, member login, put in your member login, go to My Tools, and if you've got this program, the 10 scrolls and then the $9.95 upgrade, I think that's all it requires, you get all those affirmations. So you can go through and listen to the affirmations of becoming an intentional creator as it relates to this topic. I'd like to read to you these six affirmations as a closing for our evening, because we know that we're dealing with self-esteem, this valuing of ourselves, this self-love, not that arrogance of Gaston, and not that narcissistic, obnoxious personality, but of having a reverence for life, our own life, of valuing our own gifts, not the ones we don't have, but the ones that we do have. Listen to these. I am integrous. I am whole and complete. I enjoy being me. I recognize and embrace my irreplaceable value. I am fully available to serve others. Now, when you hear that affirmation or say it to yourself, you may have a thought process going, that's not true. That's not really how you feel. Consciously step back from this page and say, that may be some thought, I may have some thought processes that are in the way. But back here, standing at the head of my life, holding my world in my hand, I am integrous. I am whole and complete because that person is. There may be some habits of thought that have been eating you alive for a lifetime, and that's all they are. Confident. I am confident. I embrace my uniqueness. I own my natural genius and act free of hesitation, doubt, and fear. Again, if there's a voice telling you otherwise, just acknowledge it as a thought process. Back here, holding your world in your hand. Valiant. I am valiant. I am true to my own beliefs and values. They are engraved on my heart, shape my character, and guide my actions. Peaceful. I am peaceful. I am comfortable with my own ideas and opinions and allow others to have opposing ideas and opinions without the need to openly defend mine. Deliberate. I am deliberate. I set appropriate boundaries regarding how I allocate my time and talents. I agree to do things for the right reason. And lastly, I'm unconditional. I see my strengths and weaknesses in balance. I waste not a moment mourning yesterday's misfortunes, yesterday's defeats, yesterday's aches of the heart. Spend some time with these affirmations. I can tell you right now that in these six measurements, there are a number of people on the phone who have thought processes that question their wholeness and their completeness. A number of you, 90% of you on the phone, have a thought process that wants you to compare your worst against everyone else's best. Your worst. How fair is that? You see inside yourself and you feel all of these terrible things that are happening and you look at somebody else's facade and see it as real and it's not real. That's not what's real. That's what they're projecting. They see the same thing when they see you, what you're projecting. One of the great gifts that comes from embracing our self-esteem is that we can start to see someone else's pain. We can see them for what they are and where they are and love them unconditionally. Valiant about honoring our beliefs and values. There's a few that are, it's like, you know, I know I believe this, but if I stick to that, then I won't be able to do this. Just be careful not to sacrifice your beliefs. In peaceful, there are a number that can become very defensive if someone challenges one of your ideas that need to be right, and the other half, frankly, are just hurt when their ideas are summarily dismissed or they can't be right. These are just thought processes that are impeding you from having this powerful self-esteem. Deliberate, the overwhelming majority of you have this fifth measurement in this particular area, way under-focused, which means there's a willingness to sacrifice your time and energy and even your well-being to serve other people. Oh, my goodness, doing the wrong thing for the right thing, excuse me, for the wrong reason, and depleting yourselves. It's very hard to have self-respect and self-esteem when you're constantly depleted. It's important that you get some rest, that you build from a solid foundation. And lastly, unconditional, most are balanced. This is a tough one. If you've got this measurement going at all to the left, unconditional, what I mean by the left, it's on the bottom, and it's orange or it's red. If you see that, just ask yourself, what am I holding on to? What has happened in my life that I'm ashamed of, that I feel guilt about, that I have been unwilling to let go? It's not that feeling guilty is a bad thing. It actually motivates us to improve. The challenge is when it destroys another day. We've already done or lost as a result of why lose another day and then another day and then another day and compound the losing from that action. Let us let that go. Og says it so beautifully in Scroll 5. You know, can I take back the blows or restruct the pain that was caused? No. We can't take it back. It's time to let it go. Well, we come to the conclusion of this evening. Self-love. Know thyself. Choose thyself. Create thyself with what you've been given. And discover the miracle of just how much that really is. Especially as you focus to serve other people and to bring abundance to their lives, you will be amazed at what you create. Then you're able to give yourself from a well that's overflowing and never is empty. We want to thank you for being with us this evening. Please send emails to Lincoln@ogmandino.com. Lincoln@ogmandino.com. If there's anything that you would like me to address, and I'll do my best to address those. Yes, I heard somebody.
Hey, David, Shane Wallace.
Hi, Shane.
How are you? Hey, I just wanted to make a comment that I've been participating in various coaching and conference calls, and I'm always participate with people your caliber, and always appreciate the opportunity to learn. And I just wanted to kind of get on a soapbox for a second and just encourage people that might be on the phone to go ahead and comment or ask questions when they feel inspired, and then not hold back, because sometimes some of the best nuggets that you can get are questions or comments that other people may have. And so, Jimmy, I've been on this call for quite some time, and can't think of when we heard anybody come out and share on that call. So I just wanted to just kind of throw that little bit in to encourage people to, you know, let this be a bilateral type communication and take advantage of every opportunity that they can get to learn from you and apply the principles and the scrolls in the things that they do on their daily lives.
Well, thank you, Shane. Your comments are always timely, and this one is very timely. Because as we go through this call, we've asked this question in the office because we get emails with questions, but there seems to be a reluctance to get on the call, and I want to create a safe place for you where we can explore possibilities. And when you ask a question, when someone asks a question or is having a challenge, I promise you that the 90% of the people on the phone are having exactly the same issue and just didn't have the courage to ask. I would admonish you to be as courageous as you can and do that. If it's uncomfortable here, send an email about it, and I'll do my very best to address it on the call. I got to tell you, I am not a scary guy. I got my own crap going on in my own life, and I'm working on these pieces. I feel passionately about doing everything I can to share these things with you so that you can make your life better, and I just love to serve you. So if there's anything I can do to serve you, just let me know so we can address it. Thanks, Shane. I appreciate your comment. Well, everybody have a great evening, and we will go ahead. Somebody else, please.
Dave, this is Lauren. I just want to say thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
I'm Lorna from Scottsdale.
Well, thank you so very much for your comment. Anything that you'd like to say about this evening?
I can't wait to review it.
Well, thank you. Do and enjoy it, and come next week with a question. Just send me an email, and I'll do my very best to address it.
Thank you.
Well, thanks, everyone. Have a great Wednesday evening. Good night, everyone.